In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So on Wednesdays in the morning with the teachers here at St. John's, I go over sometimes all, but normally just one of our readings that I'm going to plan on preaching on. This week I took them to our Old Testament lesson, but I covered the same topic. Today we're going to focus in on our gospel lesson. And I began with a question. Well, actually, no, I began with a reading, but I ended into a question. And the question was this: if you could lose one of your five senses, sight, smell, hearing, touch, taste, if you could lose just one of those and you had to choose one, which one would it be? My answer when I first thought of that question that morning for myself was I would love, if I had to choose, I would think I would love to give up the sense of smell. Because although food might not taste the same if you didn't have the sense of smell, although there could be some other issues that come up, it seems to be the lesser of evils, I guess, to lose that one. But when it actually comes down to it, we have to admit that we as people are rather more comfortable with losing our sight. That sounds weird, and I'm not talking some sort of psychobabble. It is true that blindness can be comfortable. I venture to say that blindness may even be preferred. What would make blindness even more preferable, though, really any loss of sense, but blindness in particular, is if we were blind but didn't actually know it. If you didn't know any better, how could anything be better? This is, as I said, not some sort of crazy talk, but I guarantee you this is something that we actually say and talk about. We talk about being comfortably blind all the time. Every single time we say that ignorance is bliss, where we don't want to pay attention to something, to look at something, to see something, or to evaluate something. There is a comfortableness to darkness. There's a comfortableness when sin is concealed and not talked about, where the hard realities of life are covered up and we ignore real challenge. It's just easier. Or so we think. It's just so much easier not to care, to live in blindness and darkness rather than living with sight and light, because then as soon as we see something, as soon as we acknowledge something, then we got to do something about it. And maybe we don't want to do something or don't know how to do something about it. When we can't see, we are able to then claim ignorance. We're able to turn away and say, hey, I don't know about it. We call it turning a blind eye as another metaphor. We turn a blind eye to things that bother us or should bother us. Lots of things going on in our world, in our news every night. Some things going on in our own backyard. Some things going on in our own families. And we would rather turn a blind eye. Whether that's child trafficking or abortion and infanticide, something that's coming here to the state of Illinois has been on the news a lot. Terrorism. Christian persecution around the world. Homelessness, gang violence, drug problems and addictions, nuclear capabilities of our neighbors and our enemies, increased pressure on people of all social and economic classes because of increased taxes and prices on common goods that we all need. Pile on divorce, child abuse, and more. It's just so much nicer. It's so much easier just to be blind, to be comfortable to the inconvenient truths that are around us each and every day. It's much more comfortable to tape or glue our eyes shut, even gouge out our own eyes, rather than to see or have to come face to face with the ugliness of truth, which is really the ugliness of the sin we live in. And it's even more true that we would love nothing more than to turn a blind eye to ourselves, our own selfishness, our own stupidity, those things that make you kind of cringe when you look back on life. Did I really do that? our own self-absorption, our petty sins, our big sins, the sins that you just pray grandma never finds out about. Yeah, we don't want to look at those. We don't want to look in the mirror of the law that we talk about in the Lutheran Church, the commandments of God. We don't want to stare into them because we know what we're going to see in a reflection. Like some nasty picture of Dorian Gray, we hate when the mirror shows us those ugly scars of sin. Instead, it's so much more. It really truly is. It's so much more comfortable to seek after the things that would make us more blind, that would shroud us in more darkness. We want the nightly news to whisper sweet nothings about how everything's all right, or how everything's going crazy out there in the world, but you're right for listening to the right source of news. We want to skip over the parts of the Bible we don't like that convict us of our sins, and we don't really want to understand. We want to hear how special we are, how good we are. Don't tell me how bad I am. I'd rather pull the blankets over my head and go back to sleep. Even the most spiritual and pious of all Christians are not immune from this mentality. Rather, I find it the exact opposite. Those people that we kind of revere for their spiritualness and their piousness like to think they're pretty good when it comes to the spiritual stuff. Think they have the right answers. They think that sinful nature really isn't that bad. The truth is, our sinful nature really likes to keep us in the dark. It likes to keep us blind. And our vision never gets to 20/20 on this side of heaven, at least in the matters of spiritual life. This was the problem that the 12 disciples had in their gospel reading. Seeing they could not see. Jesus took the time to open to them the very scriptures from Isaiah 50 and 53 is where Jesus is quoting from. That it's necessary for the Son of Man to come and be mocked, to be spitted upon, to be delivered over to the hands of sinful men. The exact word and abuses are listed there in Isaiah 50, 53. He's explaining to them the Old Testament. That it was all about Him. That it was about Him for them, and yet they turned a blind eye. Don't tell me about those things. Well, I want to hear about me. I want to see how it's about me. I want to know how to live a better life now. They wanted glory. They wanted stuff. They wanted entertainment, they want power, they want their way. They want their way so they could see and only see what's happening in their lives. But the truth was that Jesus had come to die in the most gruesome way imaginable that they could be saved. But one guy in the gospel lesson got it. He was a no-name man on the side of the road to Jericho, just miles outside Jerusalem, where Jesus was about to lay down his life, where the mission was about to be complete. A real-life blind man, somebody who is really blind, realizes the situation he's in. He was blind, but Jesus could see. He was in darkness, but Jesus was the light of the world. And so he cries out, "Have mercy on me." He cried out in faith, a faith that trusted that Jesus could restore his eyesight, could grant vision, could bring clarity and light to darkness. And he believed that Jesus was more than just a man, more than just the Son of David, but the Son of David. He was the Messiah about to die for him. And his faith saves him. It doesn't just make him well. That is like the weakest translation of what happens. Jesus turns and tells him that his faith has saved him. Saved his eyesight, absolutely. But more importantly, has given him the correct eyesight because his eyes are focused on the one thing needful, Jesus himself. It saved them from everlasting darkness and blindness and torment. It saves because Christ alone can save. And it's a reality that you and I are always learning to confess. You ever wonder why in the beginning of the service we do that Kyrie thing? That means, "Lord, have mercy." Because look at what people in the Bible were praying. Why do we keep saying it? Why do we sit there and despise these words so often? Could we be forgetting what we're really asking for, what's really going on? You're praying that God would do what he told you he was going to do. You're praying that God would have mercy, that he would put his son to death for you. You're confessing, hopefully in faith, that he is capable of having mercy. And the one who restored the sight of the blind man can and will restore the spiritual eyes as well. He can open the scriptures to you. He can show you that he is behind it all, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that spiritual blindness is not comfortable. It's ultimately death. So come, sinner. Come and see that the Lord is good. He's done all things well. He is the one who gives his body and blood for you. He is the one who lays down his life for you. And nothing, absolutely nothing else matters. He is your Jesus. He is the restorer of your eyesight. Friends, we are about to prepare once again to hear that story. How Jesus will restore us to the Father. Lent is upon us. And again, we'll dive into the truth. We'll dive into the entire meaning of the scriptures. The reason that you're here today. Again, we will see Jesus bloodied and flogged and crucified for you. Again, we will see Jesus bearing the cross for you and for your sins. Again, you'll see Jesus go to war with Satan and win for you. Again, you'll see Jesus descend into hell for you, to proclaim victory for you. And yes, again, we will see him rise victorious on Easter Sunday. So look and see. Don't be afraid to look at the truth, whether it's in our life or in our world. It's a gruesome reminder, but your Jesus loves you. And in faith alone, our darkness will be overcome by the light of Christ. Amen.